Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. That's where we're going to begin the reading today. And as we again somewhat return back to John, every message usually by Monday morning, at the latest Tuesday morning, I have posted it up on the website, the Sunday message, and then also all the radio broadcasts are there. And so the cards are on the back there for the radio stations and the website. And we probably have close to 2,000 messages up on the website right now. And so please use it for your growth, and use it to bring people to the Lord Jesus as well. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to begin reading with verse 6 this morning. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. And after this manner, therefore, pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today and enjoy this time. And Father, we know that the Lord Jesus, he's coming soon. He's going to come and take his church home. And there is so much work to be done. There is so many folks, Father, that need to hear the word of God, to hear the plan of salvation. And Father, we pray that they would trust in you and come to you and repent of their ways and be born again. Father, please have us to be strong and our voices heard as we take out your precious word. So please speak to hearts today now as we continue to study your precious word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we went through, and again, you don't need to turn there unless you would like to, because you can even make some notes of the scripture verses. But the John chapter 17, verses 1 through 26, is actually the Lord's Prayer. What we're going to study today is something that we can use only as an example for us to learn how to pray. It was never intended to be repeated. And so just over and over again in the same words that we have it here, it is for our purpose for us to learn how to pray. And so, but back in John chapter 17, there were seven petitions that the Lord Jesus had lifted up. And I would like to list those again. And again, there's the CDs, there's the messages up on the site. So as we look at this, you can find John chapter 17, verses 1 through 26. And the first verse tells us that Jesus may be glorified as the Son who has glorified the Father. That's the first petition that we have. The second one is in verse 5, be restored to the eternal glory. This is a conversation that the Lord Jesus is having with his heavenly Father as he was here up on earth. And so first, that Jesus may be glorified as the Son who has glorified the Father. The next is that I may be restored to eternal glory. In other words, I'm going to be coming home here, and I'll be back in my full position and full glory. Verse 11 and verse 15, the Lord Jesus speaks of the safety of the believers from the world and from the evil one. And so that's verse 11 and verse 15. The Lord Jesus prays for us to keep us from the world, to set us free from the bindings of the world and from the evil one, the devil himself. Then in verse 17 is the fourth petition, and that is the sanctification of believers, separating us, making us holy unto the Lord. And so we enjoy that. And then verse 21 is the fifth petition, and it's spiritual unity of believers. And so the joy of us coming together and being one and being a family. And God prays for us that we be of one mind. And then verse 21 in the last part of that same verse, in the number six, sixth petition, is that the world may believe. The Lord Jesus desires that all are saved. And so he prays to his heavenly Father that the word will go out and the word will touch the lost world. And then the 24th is the seventh, the 24th verse is the seventh petition, that believers may be with him in heaven to behold and share his glory. What a joy that we have that we can be with him. And his prayer is that we join him and that we be with him. And so that is actually the Lord's prayer in John chapter 17, verses 1 through 26. Now, the prayer that has been proclaimed as the Lord's Prayer is what we read here in Matthew chapter 6, verses 6 through 13. It's actually verse 9 through 13 is what it's called, the Lord's Prayer. Now, you have, we handed out the sheets of that, and so we're going to break it down, and so just take your time and enjoy it today, because the one joy that a believer has, and that is to spend time in prayer with his heavenly Father, and it is something that we have always misused and neglected would be, I guess, a better word for it, not misused, but neglected. And the reason that we're here is because we're in the book of Hebrews, and Hebrews took us to the back to the book of Exodus to study the tabernacle, and we're right at the veil. And as you look at the veil, and that's the reason we're speaking of prayer here, because we have the tabernacle. Now, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you've been to the brazen altar, because that's where the sacrifice was offered. I hope that you've trusted in Jesus. Then the process of the washing with the brazen laver is a constant thing in each one of our lives as we live in this world, and we continue to have the cleansing and the washing, and that makes us that's a form of sanctification. That's our way to be sanctified. And then we come into the tabernacle itself. And again, the 15-foot walls are golden walls, golden lampstand, acacia wood overlaid with gold is the table of showbread, and acacia wood overlaid with gold for the incense altar. The incense altar, as we read 2 weeks ago there, concerning it is also referred to as the prayer altar. And this incense not only fills this room here, but it pours in towards the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies is where God resided for the Israelites, for the Jews, all through the wilderness journey. And so this was his home. It's 15 by 15 cube, and the Shekinah glory cloud would rest upon it during the day, and the fire by night would be continually, and they would then, once a year, they would bring the high priest, would come through, they would slaughter they would kill the goat, two goats, they would kill one of them and catch the blood. And that high priest would come through and come all the way into the Holy of Holies through the veil one time a year. It's the only time. Would come and sprinkle the blood seven times up on this. And we're going to get to the Ark of the Covenant next of how it's built and what it stands for. But the blood is sprinkled up on that mercy seat seven times. Well, right now we have gotten ourselves to the veil. We have talked about how that when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified and that veil was torn from top to bottom, this is the veil. Now, this is the tabernacle. We know that we're up to the time of the temple when that took place, when the Lord Jesus was crucified, still represents the same thing. And so when that veil was torn from top to bottom, that meant that no more were there any feasts, no more were there any festivals, no more were there any offerings to be brought, no more sacrifices to be brought to the altar, because it was finished. And Jesus now has taken the place of this veil. So as we have come, we've been saved, we've trusted in the Lord Jesus, we've been washed. Now we come in and we feed upon the bread that's on this table of showbread by the light of the Lord Jesus. Our life is continuing to grow closer to the Lord Jesus. And now we have the opportunity to come and to have this joy of our requests lifted up unto the Lord. And that's what this represents right here with this brazen, golden incense altar, also known as a prayer altar. Our prayers are being poured up to the Lord Jesus. Now, we read that back in John chapter 17 and looked at that and looked at those petitions that the Lord Jesus himself lifted up. But then he gives the people, his disciples, the example of how to pray. Well, what has happened is we have begun to recite this verbatim. We do it, we just repeat it over and over again. But did you ever see what the Lord said in verse 7? In verse 7 of Matthew chapter 6, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetition." Now, what's the very thing that most of the churches today have left the beautiful old hymns, and they go to choruses? Have you ever noticed what those choruses are? Repetition. You just repeat same words over and over and over again. Maybe it's a phrase, and you repeat it over and over again, almost like a chant. God never intended that. We have these beautiful old hymns. You know, we don't have anybody to play the instruments, so we just lift up our voices unto the Lord. But the joy of it is the words that's in these beautiful hymns. There's nothing in repetition about these gorgeous hymns. There's nothing in the Word of God that we're supposed to chant or continue to repeat always. And yet these words here, even though the very words in verse 7 says, "When ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for the much speaking." And I realize that when this is said in family gatherings, because I was raised with this, we get together and let's say the Lord's Prayer. And so that was, and 90% of the people that were there were lost. And yet they were very comfortable in saying the Lord's Prayer, because it was just something that they would say in repetition. Now, let's begin, because you have on your sheet there the very first phrase, Our Father. And again, that gives us such a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said, the veil now has been replaced by the Lord Jesus. That's why when we pray in Jesus' name, because it's through our Lord Jesus Christ that we can go to the Father and lift up our petitions. And He is the one that makes intercession for us. And so when we stand at this prayer altar and we lift our prayers up unto the Lord, up unto God the Father, it's through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He is literally at the veil. And so when we speak, we're speaking to the Lord Jesus, and He brings it right on to God the Father. And we can go right to God the Father because of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we say Our Father, it is the personal relationship that we have with our God. And the next is, which art in heaven. Can you see heaven? Can you touch heaven? Can we get in an airplane and fly to heaven? Can we drive to heaven? No, we can't. Why do we know, and how do we know that there is a heaven? It's by faith. The Word of God tells us so, and we believe it by faith. And the next is, as we look at this in number three, would be, Hallowed be thy name. And so now we're beginning to worship. And we're gonna take this apart about three times. And so just kind of enjoy it here as we go, because we're going to, I have always learned by repetition. And so when you go over something repeatedly, why then we tend to remember it. And so, Hallowed be thy name. Holy is thy name. And so when we acknowledge that our God is holy, then we are in the condition, the position of worship. And so, Hallowed be thy name. And then thy kingdom come. Oh, we're looking for His return. We're looking for the time of the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, thy kingdom come. And we're going to discuss that concerning what the Jews were really looking like. And then in verse number 5, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You are submitting your life to the Lord Jesus. You're saying, I am going to do what the Lord Jesus wants me to do. And so submission is written in there. Give us this day our daily bread. That's we've got petition there. You are asking Him. He wants us to fellowship with Him. He knows every need that we have. But at the same time, He wants us to ask Him for it. And He wants us to consider and desire what His will is when we ask. And so what a joy it is to be able to lift our requests up to Him. Forgive us our debts. Now, there's a confession, because that word debts, as we'll see a little later, is our sins, our transgressions. And so, Lord, please forgive us. Now, we know when we're born again, when we're saved, our sins are forgiven. They're as far as the east is from the west. At the same time, why do we need this brazen labor? Is because we're in the world. And we tend to pick up dirt in the world continually. And so we always need this cleansing. And so, and confession is the way that we have a cleansing. And then, as we forgive our debtors, number 8, and in order to forgive someone that has wronged you, that takes compassion. That takes love. Because we are wronged frequently. And we need to realize what our God is doing when He forgives us of our sin. There is nothing greater than the love that God has shown to us and has set us free and forgiven us our sin. So is there anything that we can't forgive someone else for? Now, our God is all-powerful and all-knowing, and our God is love. We as believers possess that agape love, and so for the first time we do have the ability and the opportunity to do that. I'm not telling you it's easy, but I'm telling you it's something that you'll need to do. Each one of us need to do it. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We need to depend upon Him to keep us safe and keep us in the right path. And then number 10 is, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We need to acknowledge that. We need to acknowledge His place and His position. Now, before we go any further, you can, if you want to, get your pens out, and we're going to put some things together, because as we have separated them into 10 items here, we're going to find that our Father which art in heaven is kind of an introduction. When you're beginning to pray, you acknowledge that our God, our Father which art in heaven. That's a statement that you make, and so it is kind of an introduction. And then we come to some petitions here, as we had in John chapter 17. And so, hallowed be thy name is the first one, and we discussed that to be the worship. The second one is, thy kingdom come, and that is again expectation, and it's a second petition. The third is, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That is again submission, but that's a third petition. Give us our daily bread is a petition, and that's the fourth petition. And give us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now that's combined. That's confession and compassion at the same time. That's the fifth one. And then, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Again, number six, dependence. And number seven is the conclusion. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And so when we kind of look at that as an outline for that, and again, this prayer was not given to be repeated, but was used as a model, something for us to learn. It's a design, and it shows us the manner in which we should pray. The manner we pray is never in exact words. When you repeat something over and over again, it loses the personal, the desire to plead with God, to visit with God, to fellowship with God, when you're just reciting something. And that's what this, sad to say, has become. It's something that it just rolls off your tongue. You just say the words, and you don't even stop to think what's behind it. And so, notice one thing here as you look at this, and you can look at it on your sheet of paper or in the scripture, either one, because it is all plural. It's our Father, give us our daily bread, forgive us our debts, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. We are, as it said in verse 6 of chapter 6 of Matthew, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, when thou shut the door. This is something that is very personal, very private between you and God the Father. At the same time, the requests are not to be only requests of yours. We need to be lifting up prayers and petitions for others, for folks that have needs. You visit with them, you fellowship with them, and you've heard that they've found some sickness, some cancer that they're dealing with, or maybe it's an issue with the family that they're dealing with, or maybe it's a financial burden that they have. And so you hear that, and we don't get on the phone or get on the internet and share that with somebody else. What we need to do is go into our prayer closet and say, Lord, there's a need there. I don't understand all of it. I don't know what it's all about, but Lord, you do. And if it's a Christian, then Father, you use this to bring them closer to the Lord Jesus. If they're lost, then you need to pray, Lord, use this to bring them to you. And that needs to be our constant request as we lift up to them. And you can see it is all there in plural fashion. So it's yes between you and God, and it's to be in your quiet place, not that others should see or hear what you're saying. But we do need to be prayer warriors for our brothers and sisters and for our family members and for those that are lost. It begins here, Our Father which art in heaven. God is omnipresent, yet the Word of God speaks of His home. His home is in heaven. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. This is Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Caught up into the third heaven. Let's go to John chapter 14, verse 2. Hold yourself in Matthew, because we're going to be right back there. John 14, verse 2. Here's the one that you hear all the time. John 14, 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. That's in God's home. We're looking forward to that. So you see, even though God is omnipresent, He still speaks of a home, and He speaks of a place. Next is hallowed be thy name. Hallowed stand, you know, God is holy. God is to be praised. God is to be honored. God is to be glorified above all. In the beginning, God. All else became of God. All of it's present. Thy kingdom come is next. The kingdom, the reign. That word kingdom there could easily be replaced by the word reign. thy reign comes. He's going to come and rule and to reign. Now, as we look at these, we know that Israel was always looking for a king. They were looking for someone to come and to set up the kingdom right then, right there. And that was the kingdom. They had no idea that there was going to be a 2,000-year place in the middle that's called the church age. No one had any understanding of that of the Old Testament, because they wanted their kingdom, and they would have had their kingdom if they would have stayed true to Jehovah God. But they all turned their back on God, and God set them aside. And so he also set the kingdom aside. And so as we find here, they were expecting a king that would come and sit on David's throne. This really refers to the kingdom on earth, the one that will come during the millennial reign of Christ. So when people recite this, and they say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. When you say those words so quickly, and it's probably the one single scripture in the Word of God that is memorized by more of the world than any other scripture. And the sad thing is, it means nothing to them. It's just something that they recite. And as we look at this now, understand that when you begin to pray, you need to acknowledge our God. You don't need to use this as an outline, yes, but not using, you know. When you give a speech, and I always loved, believe it or not, I know this seems strange to you, that I love speech class. And when you would do it, you know, sometimes you would write everything out and memorize it. Other times you were allowed just to have an outline. But that outline was usually a title that you would read, and you could glance down, see the heading of that outline, and then you'd follow through with what's to be below that. And then you would look to the next and to the next as you would go down through your outline. This is not to be that way. We are not to necessarily use these words in any way. We are to learn from that. And so when you look to begin with, Our Father which art in heaven, you know, when you go into your prayer closet, you don't need to say, Our Father which art in heaven. You go in and say, Oh Father, please, you know, hear my requests. I thank you for the salvation you've given me. Please, Lord, now give me strength. And we want to pray for this one and pray for this one. And it begins in that manner. But this here is the outline, but we are not necessarily to do that. But we need to understand, hallowed be thy name, he is holy. And so when you go into that prayer closet, you go into that time of prayer, it is a time as Moses stepped next to the burning bush, and God said, you know, you take your sandals off because you're standing on holy ground. When we go in to spend time with our God in prayer, we are on holy ground. And we need to respect it, and we need to acknowledge it as being such, as holy ground. And so once again, Father, please, that you, you're holy, you're mighty, you're the creator of the world. I mean, there's a lot of words that you can use in your introduction, so to speak, to your prayer. but it comes from your heart, not from some repetition that we have all learned. And it goes next, thy kingdom come. The request there, there we need to say, Lord, I'm looking for your return, but please, Lord, give me the words to lead someone to the Lord Jesus. Open the door for me. Because here, it's praying literally for the millennial reign of Christ. That's what that request is for, because this is given to the Jews. This is given to the Jews. There are two different. Now, we spent quite a bit of time when we were studying the book of Matthew concerning the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. You need to realize that there's a difference there. There's a great difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Strangely enough, the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom that's going to be down here on earth. The kingdom of God is the kingdom that we have now. It's a spiritual kingdom. Anyone that is born again, anyone that is saved, is a part, is a member of the kingdom of God. It's a spiritual kingdom. But the kingdom of heaven is when, and one man said, it's when the rules of heaven comes down to earth. That is the kingdom of heaven. And right now, this isn't the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven will be during the millennial reign of Christ. That's when he will be here and rule and reign. So the kingdom of God is the universal, the spiritual kingdom that we abide in now. Every person that is born again, they are a member of this church. Not Parkview Bible Church, but the church of God. The universal church, the spiritual church. Now, there's going to be a time that there is going to be the kingdom of heaven, and that's when the Lord Jesus will come on and sit on the throne of David, and he will rule and reign for 1,000 years here upon earth. And so, the next is thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, that's something else that is not going to take place. That's a desire of the heart of a believer to be more like the Lord Jesus. But as far as this taking place, this is something else that's going to take place during the kingdom age, during the kingdom of heaven, during the millennial reign of Christ. Now, as always, we never have enough time, and so we'll end with that, with the thy kingdom come. And so we'll start with thy will be done, and we'll get on to, so that means nobody can eat, because give us this day our daily bread. We don't know that one yet, and so we're going to have to wait. And so please that you realize that we will enjoy the rest of this study, and please look at this text as you await next week there, but think about how you're going to pray to incorporate everything that's here. Yes, because the kingdom is going to come, the millennial reign will come, Jesus is going to come against church, and we do need to depend on him for our daily bread and all these things. But for us to quote these words, and just those words only, is not what our Lord and Savior ever had in mind. And so learn how to pray, because we're standing before this veil. We're lifting our prayers up unto our God, and we need to see that when we pray to him, that we pray earnestly. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today and the time goes so quickly. And just, Father, guide and lead us today. Teach us how to pray. You've given this instruction here. Now please apply it to our hearts and make it each one of ours, or each individual here will pray differently. The needs are different. The heart is different. We are all born again. But we lift up different things to you. And so see, Father, that our prayer comes from our heart, led by your Spirit that's in our life and in our heart. Speak to our hearts now, Father, please. Thank you for the day, and thank you for these folks that are here. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.